It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Curry and Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us, for hanging out. The Cavaliers totally turned into the Cavaliers in overtime against the Suns. Valiant effort to get into that fifth frame.
It was a rather cavalier
okay
end to the game.
All right. It's a little early at the end of the show, Scott, on a, yeah, on a,
it's
on
my
a
dad
high note
joke
like
tonight.
That. So, anyway, they go into overtime. 20-4 in the overtime, the Suns outscore the Cavaliers, so they win
in
one,
5 minutes.
5 minute overtime, and they win by 16. So there you go, 134-118. So the yes, they are officially same record as the Jazz at 47-18, but they are now in that first place spot because they have the tiebreak over the Jazz. I don't know what to think at this point because I don't know if it's going to matter. I think that it's really just about whether or not you can hold on to either the one or the two. And that's kind of what you're looking for, is just making sure you don't lose that second seed. So, moving on here, Scott, as we I saw something interesting on KSLSports.com, which is, of course, where we get a lot of our information from these days. And JJ, Jeremiah Jensen, who's coming on with us in less than an hour here, had tweeted out an interesting tweet, and Kyle Ireland also kind of took it and ran with it, one of our digital writers for the he's not digital, the piece is digital. So go to KSLSports.com. And
he's actually a person.
He's a real person. Yeah. Kyle's a nice guy. So here's the deal. You go in and you look at these numbers as to where the Jazz are, and where the Jazz are, where these Utah teams stack up. And with those teams, or with all these guys that were drafted, BYU and have these high school guys. Brady Christensen went to Bountiful. Simi Fihoko, who played for Stanford, went to Brighton. Dax Milne, who went to Washington, went to Bingham High School. Penei Sewell, of course, from Desert Hills, a first-round guy. Kyrus Tonga went to Granger High School here in Utah. Jay Tufele, who played for USC and went to Bingham. Zach Wilson, of course, played at Corner Canyon. That's a lot of guys that originated here in the state of Utah and ended up going in the draft this year. And per capita, these Utah teams – are second behind Louisiana for the most players drafted per the population. That's a massive jump for Utah. So it's not just happening at the collegiate level that they're doing a better job or getting drafted or whatever. It's also that the high school game, and you called high school games for a long time with Game Night Live, Scott, that the high school game here is not messing around anymore. It's at that national level, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, certainly not every school, but I broadcast high school games for about 3 years, really enjoyed it, and a lot of why I enjoyed it because it was really good football. I know when I came back to Utah, and the reason I came back was to actually coach high school football, I was curious, you know, how much could these players absorb? You know, like how much could you teach them as far as, like, you know, offensive and defensive philosophies and the in-depth playbook, you know, is it just like five plays and that's it? These players could grasp some pretty complex concepts on both offense and defense, and it was shocking to me how well prepared and also how motivated. Like, these players are willing to do a lot to prepare themselves to play, and whether it's getting training And then another thing that's happening is you've got a lot of former players from Utah and BYU who've gone on and played in the pros. And a guy like John Beck is a great example. But there's a lot of other guys that do speed training, and they do, you know, position-specific drills. So these guys are getting a lot of work even outside of their high school programs. Right. And a lot of the high school programs, I mean, I know when I was doing it, it's now become not just a, well, you know, we'll see you next summer a couple of weeks before, you know, we start our actual season training. It's, these guys are working a year-round deal, and a lot of these schools are saying you're going to play another sport. You're going to be in track. You're going to be in wrestling. You're going to be in something other than football that will specifically help you with this sport. And so you put all those things together, and then really this explosion of the Polynesian culture. I mean, it's just been a phenomenal thing that you know, with a such a small segment of our society has, you know, they're really good at football.
Well, they did.
they're great at football.
They did this number. They did the population. And so they take the population. They take how many NFL players there are. They do the little the easy division. And that's why they have Louisiana with a population of 4.5 million. They have one player per 350,000 people, basically, right? And so Utah is with their seven players drafted out of high school, guys who originate in high school, it's 467, that one per 467,000 people. But the reality is that you're right. What you have is you have a lot of these players like Simifi Hoko, Pene Sewell, Kairos Tonga, Jay Tufele, and of course Zach Wilson, who was wasn't he the Polynesian Player of the Year in college football? Technically, Scott.
I think so. I don't know how that all works.
Throw it in there. That's the only people on this list who are not of Polynesian descent, or at least have ties strongly to the community, are Brady Christensen and Dax Milne. And guess what? That is not a shock at all, because now it's an interesting deal now, because you look and you go, look, there's not only is there great talent coming out of here. Think about guys like Heloti Nata, who came out of Highland High School, went to Oregon, and became a Hall of Fame, you know, defensive lineman. These are household names, I think, now, that people are starting to realize it's not like the one-off. Maybe you have a Polynesian guy on the team here and there. It's like, no, USC really recruits hard in the Polynesian communities, right? Their defensive line coach is a former BYU player who goes out and actually goes and says, I know how to get you into this game. I know I've put guys in the NFL, and it's Vic Soto. I mean, there's a reason that they have this connection here. It's easy it's easier to get these guys to go into the homes and recruit. Look, Kalani Sitake, everybody knows as a recruiter, he's amazing. When he sits down in front of these families who he's trying to get a four-star, you know, Polynesian player in, there's a reason the Polynesian football camps and the Polynesian, you know, bowl that they have every year is a big deal. It's because now you're starting to see, I mean, the per capita here starts to jump even bigger when you look at those numbers that come out of the Polynesian community. It's exceptional. It's amazing.
So I got cut off. I don't know what you said, Alex, but I will say this.
Polynesians are great football players.
No, they really are. But and I'm just so competitive. And you take all of these players, and you take the ones that left, right? And it's like if those guys would have stayed here. I mean, I saw Semi Fihoko when he was at Brighton. I'm like, this kid's amazing. Well, like, yeah, he's going to Stanford, you know. And you're just like, why? You know, I don't understand.
You have that beef with them not playing here.
I really do, because you put all those players here, and man, that does wonders for BYU and Utah and all those schools. The big time programs, though, have recognized there is really good talent in Utah, and that's why they stick their noses here. Oregon, USC,
yeah.
Alabama, I mean, all these places. And so a lot of good football, a lot of good talent here in the state of Utah.
Don't let them steal our talent. Come on. We're going to take the break here. We've got we've got our MVPs next, so stay with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.